Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I ask you to turn to your Bibles in Luke chapter 6.
Where?
Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, verse 27 through 28. And I'll give you the title to it after we read the two verses. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And my title this morning is Love the Unlovable. And we was kind of talking about this earlier at the breakfast table, and I said y'all are going to laugh at me when you hear what I'm talking about. But I believe all of us as Christians need to be reminded of this almost daily, because it's hard to love the unlovable. It's easy to be nice to someone who's being nice to you. It's easy to talk with someone or do something nice for someone who's being nice to you. That's very easy. But it's not so easy to talk to and to be nice to and to do something for someone who is not doing the same for you. And that's what we're going to talk about briefly this morning. The first point, anyway, is in verse 27, where it says, do good to them which hate you. And like I said, it's easy to be nice to someone who's being nice to you. But we all come in contact with people pretty much on a daily basis. For sure, if you work out there in the world, you're coming in contact with someone who's not nice to you every day. And Amy, you will find that out in a year and a half, that everyone's not nice out there. So the first point is do good to them. And I've got two main ways, but I got several things to discuss. First way we can be good to others is with our thoughts. My thoughts. It does matter what we think about others, whether they're nice to us or not nice to us. We even have family members who are not nice to us. We deal with people who are Christians, even who are not nice to us. We deal with family members in our own family, including me, who are not nice sometimes. And the Lord deals with me on that. It is very important. My thoughts, are they good or bad? Am I having nice thoughts about those people that I'm having a hard time with? You can always, this is what my mama told me, and I thought my mama was mean, but my mama told me, she said, you can always, always, always find something good about every single person. And it may take longer with some, but you can find it. So we need to think about what we're thinking of others, whether they're at the workplace, whether they're people in the family, extended family, people across the street. What do we think about them? It affects how we treat them. We need to be aware of our enemies, people who don't like us, and not let them get us into trouble or trick us, but we can think good thoughts about our enemies with the Lord's help. Okay, number two, I can do good to others depending on my actions and reactions. How do I treat other people? How do I act towards them? When they do something to me, how do I react? In Luke 6:31, verse 31, it says, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. And in just short, how do I want to be treated? Do I want them to treat me that way? That's a good question to ask yourself. When you're up against someone who doesn't seem to like you, can't stand you, think about how you would want that person to treat you. Treat them accordingly. People are watching us to see how we treat others that are not nice to us. And the Bible does not tell us to get even with others. It'd be nice sometimes, I think, if the Bible did say that. Because if we went on our feelings, half the time we would just say, okay, I'm going to get even with you. And a lot of times we feel that way. But it's not the right way. Go out of your way to do something nice for someone who seems not to like you. Just like at work. Somebody may be rude to you. Maybe they don't talk to you. Watch that person on a daily basis, even a family member, and say, what is something, is it just something small that I can do? But the key is, I'm not expecting anything in return. If you're doing it to say, oh, if I do something nice for them, they're going to do something nice back to me. That's not why you do it. The reason you do it is because you're God's child. God tells us to do it, but we're also to be an example so others can see Christ through us. That's the reason we do it. And if we're doing it for the wrong reason, we're going back to our thoughts. How are our thoughts? If our thoughts are not right, it's not going to come out right. That's the way it works. It starts up here and in here, and it comes out. That's the process. Try to be understanding toward that person. You don't know what their life is really like, and you don't know the whole story about them. So be concerned, loving, and caring. God is. Don't just ask, can you help them? Go ahead and do it. Lots of times when, just like the other night, Daddy found out a former co-worker, his girlfriend had a baby. Well, the baby's sick. Well, other people at work talked about it. Well, if you need something, let me know. Well, Daddy went on ahead, and he went and saw him at the hospital. That's taking action. Not just, oh, well, if you need me, let me know. You have to take an extra step and say, I'll do it for you. People want to see you doing something, not just talking about it. It does make a difference. Okay, number 3, my words. What kind of words am I using? Are they kind? Are they encouraging? Are they mean? Sarcastic? Or are they hurtful? Our tongue usually destroys our testimony and damages our relationship with others more than anything else. That's where I get into trouble. That's my weakness. My words. And that's something I have to ask the Lord to help me with. And that's one reason I've been doing these devotions so much. And I had a type of lesson like this a few weeks ago, but I didn't do it because it wasn't quite what I wanted to do. And this is what I ended up doing because it spoke to my heart more. So this is what I'm giving you this morning. How I say something is just as important as what I say. People are so easily offended by our words and the tones we use when we say them. So let's be careful about the words we choose and how they sound to others. People are not only watching us, they're also listening. So, Lots of times, I notice in family, that we may say the right words, but it's the way we say them. Just like you can say, I love you, in many different ways. It can be a sincere, I do love you, or I love you. That don't mean the same thing as, I really love you. There's many different ways you can say it. You can say it in a mean way, hateful way, sarcastic way, and any words we use are the same way. Just like, can I help you? Can I help you? Or, can I help you? What do you want? You know, it does matter. I have a hard time with it. I really do. Very hard time with it. I have an easier time out in public talking to people than I do in my own immediate family. So, it does matter how we say what we say. People can take it wrong. People get offended. We mess up our own testimony by how we say what we say. It's not normally what we say. It's how we say it. Just like, you know, people say, you look nice today. Oh, you look nice today. I see girls do that all the time. Teenagers. Oh, you look pretty. Sure. And they get offended. They get hurt. They cry. They get mad. And it's the way it was said. Instead of, boy, you look pretty today. Oh, that looks nice. There's a big difference. So our words go with our actions. Again, it starts in your thoughts and in your heart. And we'll get to that part at the end. But that's where it starts. And whatever's in there, it flows out. And it's an automatic reaction. Okay? Number four. We've already discussed our thoughts, our actions, our words, and now a simple thing. If we can't do anything else in this life, we can always give someone a smile and speak to them. When you're out in the workplace, when we used to work at the hardware store, the biggest thing I used to practice on, and I did it all the time, I would smile and I would speak. I was very polite. I remember a particular man come in one time. He was mad before he ever come in. He was mad at someone else. He come in, he cussed me out. I said, can I help you? And at that moment, he cussed me out from head to toe. He didn't actually come in for anything. I think he just come in to fuss at me. So I went back there and tried to help him. I was real nice to him. And he did buy something, but he said, I don't really need it. So when he got to the checkout counter, we got checked out, and I said, I hope you have a nice day. And he stood there, and he apologized. He said, you've been very nice to me. I'll never see him again. I don't know who he was. Never seen him since. But you don't know what person you have an effect on. If no other reason, you might change the person's outlook on how his day is going. It does matter. You open a door for someone. And I've heard people say, y'all as kids, that was nice. Hadn't you, Maria? Oh, that was so sweet. You don't know what it does to encourage someone else to give a simple, free, it don't cost anything, just a smile. And hey, how are you doing? Thank you. It makes a difference. Try giving a smile. You sound tired of smiling. When me and Mark got married, we smiled and we smiled and we smiled and we smiled. People take a picture, smile again. You get tired of smiling. I've heard it my whole life in church, when you're in the park, smile, smile. I'm not a smiley person. Y'all know that. But you go outside this door, it is important. When you have company here, put on your smile. When you go out in the world, put on your smile. It's not like anything else. It costs you nothing. It actually says in different books, and I've been taught this all my life, it takes more muscles for you to frown than it does to smile. And if you ever feel yourself do that and check it out, when you're smiling, you don't even know you're doing it. And it's so easy. But when you're frowning, you can feel those muscles stretching. You really can. And it is true. So tomorrow when you go to work, when you deal with your mean mama, just give her a smile. You never know. Just give her a smile. We can always speak to people and smile at them. It is a very rare gesture, and this is true, to have someone to be kind to you these days because the average person is only concerned about their own self. God has much to say in the Bible about being nice and kind and loving to others. Now, he didn't say it's going to be easy. He just said do it. He didn't give us no explanations other than we're to be an example. He commands us to do it. It's just like getting out of bed some mornings. It's not easy, but we have to do it. So, again, we can be good to people by our actions and reactions, our words, and simply just give a smile. Now, I don't know that I know a verse in the Bible about giving a smile necessarily. I don't see a verse that says, smile. But to me, a loving, caring person, I can picture Jesus smiling an awful lot. I can. Because he loves people more than you and I do. And we're supposed to follow that example. He's our sunshine. And we're supposed to be an example of that sunshine to everyone else and everyone we're around. Again, it's hard sometimes, but we are commanded. Number two, we're supposed to pray for them. Verse 28 says in the second part, pray for them which despitefully use you. Okay? I don't mean that just in the workplace. I've had family to do me wrong. Daddy's had family to do him wrong. If you haven't had family to do you wrong yet, trust me, you live a good long life, family's going to do you wrong. Me and your daddy's going to hurt your feelings one day. I guarantee you. If we haven't hurt them yet, we're going to hurt them. We're going to cause you to be mad for a period of time. Trust me, we will. But prayer is something I started when I was young. I've done discussed this many times with y'all. I started as a teenager. And I got one of my most important things sitting back there in that chair. I didn't do it myself because I didn't talk. I didn't talk, so there was no way for me to get your daddy. Other than to sit there and smile at him. That wasn't going to get your daddy. Because the first 6 months, I didn't talk to him. I didn't say anything to him. He had to teach me to answer him. He had to teach me to talk. I would talk to my mom and daddy. I would talk to my, quote, friends at school. I didn't talk to Mark. I was too scared to. So that is not the way you get a guy. But you can get a guy that way if you're praying. That's why I say pray for your husband. And you pray for for the one that God wants you to have. And this ain't part of the lesson. It has nothing to do with that part. But if you want something to be effective in your life more than anything else you can do in this world and in your life, I know I say this to y'all daily, and I remind you every day, you want something, you need something, you're upset about something, pray about it. Even good things. You don't know how many times I run around here during the day, and I'm thanking the Lord just for what I have. It's amazing. Your thought life is different. That's why a while ago I said clothes are not important to me no more. Because I'm thankful for certain things in my life that I wasn't necessarily thankful for 10 years ago. But it's through your prayer life that you will grow spiritually, emotionally, every way you need to grow, it will help you. Don't forget to pray. Okay, first of all, we need to pray earnestly and sincerely for those people. Family members, co-workers, neighbors, whoever's mean to us, or whoever just don't have no relationship with us at all, seemingly, but we're around them. You've got to pray sincerely. Not, oh, I'll pray for you. You never pray for them. Just like we're always saying to so-and-so, oh, we're praying for you. Sure you are. Pray for them sincerely. Number two, pray for them daily. Don't pray for them today and then 2 months down the road, oh, I'll pray for you today. You got to continue to pray for them on a daily basis. There can never be a change in your relationships or in your life or in another person's life if you are not praying for them sincerely and daily. Cannot. It will not happen. You can't pray for something once a month and expect things to change. It won't happen. And number three, pray for them continually. Daily and continually are two different things. Daily is every day. You might just do it once a day, like in the morning when you get up, or before you go to bed, or at lunchtime. Continually means they stay on your mind. You pray for them when they come to your mind. If they're on your mind, you need to pray for them. There's a lot of people on my mind, a lot, and I pray for them, just like Hannah over here, proud. But no, I do pray for people continually, on a daily basis. And that's the only way we're going to see things happen. I think we've had a lot of answers to prayer after Christmas time. And it's a good thing. I'm doing it. I'm keeping my prayer list, and I'm writing down the dates they're answered. Now, is every prayer going to be answered the day after Christmas? No. Is every prayer going to be answered on your birthday? No. Write it down the day you start thinking about it and praying for it. And write down the date that it's actually answered. That's a good thing to do. Because then you're going to say, hey, I'm having a terrible day today, and it's awful, and I think I would just rather die today than to live another hour. You go open it up, and you look at how good God's been to you, and it will change your thought life immediately. It really will. Do it and try it. Pray for those people and be sincere. Praying for others helps us think about them in a different way, and it helps us communicate with them and to help them properly. Prayer will take the, quote, heavy burden off of us. But it does not relieve us of our responsibility as a Christian. Prayer is one of our basic, quote, tools, but it is of great necessity and of great value to us if we would just take the time to use it. Again, now Jesus died on the cross, He paid for our sins, He paid the price for us to talk to Him. But we're not having to pay for prayer. It's free. We don't have to pay for it. It's already been paid for. It's free. There's not many things free. Prayer is free. Just like salvation is free for us. Now, Jesus paid the price for us, but He's given it to us for free. So it's prayer. Okay? First of all, we discussed to do good to them, do good to our enemies, people that don't like us, pray for them. And number three, which sums all this up to me, is let God do His work. I think sometimes as Christians, we get the idea that we can fix something or someone, or we can change the situation, but we cannot. We're only human. We're never going to be perfect till we get to heaven. We have a part to do, and God tells us to do it. But once we've done our part, which is hard for me, you have to let Him take it from there. And that means we still keep reading our Bible, we still keep praying, we still keep being nice, we still keep giving a smile, we do all the good things we're supposed to keep doing. But at the same time, the hard part's in His hands. We can't take care of the hard part. We, as human beings, cannot change anyone. I wish I could. But I can't. Your daddy can't. You can't. Nobody can. We are not God, so we cannot do the work of God. He tells us to be a good example so others can see Christ through us. We're not God. If we are truly doing our part to live for God, people will usually see and know that we are different. We won't have to put on some kind of a show or act for them. They will find out over a period of time if we are real or fake. Got two verses. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, and you heard this part, but I'm in it for the second half of it. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. And it says, in word, in conversation, in charity, which is love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And John 13:15 says, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Who is our example? Jesus. We have no other example. That is our one and only example. And once again, we come back to our basic principle. As being God's children, we need to what? We need to read our Bible, and we need to pray. When? Today? Oh, well, you know, I'm just so worn out, I'm so tired, my legs hurt, my head hurts, my whole body hurts. Oh, I'll just do it when I feel good again. Lord help us, I may never feel good again. That means I'll never pray and read my Bible again. We need to do it daily. Whether we feel good or feel bad. It is important. I know it sounds so simple, but it's the most important thing. It's the most important thing you'll ever teach your children. Besides salvation, If you don't read your Bible and pray, you'll never have a life worth living. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I learned it as a teenager, and you'll never learn a better lesson. Talk to the Lord all day long and take time to read His Word and think about it throughout the day. Just take one day at a time. We can't solve tomorrow. We can't redo yesterday. We can't change what we did yesterday. But we can work on today. So let's work on today. Is it going to be easy? No. As soon as I get through here, somebody's going to make me mad. And I'm going to want to tell them what I think. But that's where we have to think. What am I doing? How am I treating people? Am I praying for them? We have to think. And once again, people who we don't like or don't like us, who we have a hard time with, we're supposed to do good to them with our actions, our words, and we give them a smile. Number two, we need to pray for them. And number three, we need to let God do His part. Think about it. This is what the Lord's been dealing with me on. And it's a very, very hard thing. It's not easy for me at all. But I do hope to do better at it. And the only way I can do better at it is through prayer and through reading God's Word. And that's the way you will do it. Just think about it.